أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك المعصومين، ما خاب والله من تمسك بكم، وأمنا من لجأ والتجأ إليكم، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه. When you're gathering with a remembrance upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. If I can ask the brothers and the sisters to please move as forward as you can, all the way, if you can, please. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For Allah to shower onto this gathering with His infinite mercy and compassion, to hasten the reappearance of Sayyidina wa Mawlana Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, for the forgiveness of the sins, recite the third salawat with the loudest of your voices. One day, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was teaching and propagating in his masjid in the holy city of Medina, a young woman stood up in the middle of his sermon and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, is Allah not the creator of men and women?" He said, "Yes." "Is Adam not the father of all men and women?" He said, "Yes." "Is Eve not the father of all men and women?" He said, "Absolutely." "When Allah says that He is Arhamur Rahimeen, is He Arhamur Rahimeen for only men or both men and women?" He said, "No, Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen for both men and women." "When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Jannah, does He promise Jannah only for men or men and women?" Rasulullah said, "No, for men and women." She said, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me. I represent some of the women here. They're shy to speak out. But You have taught us to ask You. You are connected to the divine. You're the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ought to benefit from Your presence. Ya Rasulullah, if Allah is the creator of men and women, and our father is Adam, and our mother is Hawa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of both men and women, why is it that my shahada, why is it that my shahada, my witness, is half the witness of a man. And imagine from that point onwards, this question has been in the minds of millions of Muslims around the world. As in, millions of Muslims around the world, especially women, including non-Muslims, ask this question and similar questions from the Holy Quran and the Islamic religious institution. And as you know, brothers and sisters, the job of this minbar and the job of every Islamic center and every masjid is to answer the misconceptions of people, to answer the shubuhat, the questions and misconceptions in the minds of the people. If I attend a majalis in the month of Ramadan specifically, and for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and then let's say I end up going to college in America, I end up going to college in the UK, I migrate to Australia, to a non-Muslim country, and this happens all the time. I know for a fact the vast majority of you have either studied abroad or your children are studying abroad or you have family who's studying abroad. And I know for a fact that this has happened to the vast majority of you. If not you, your kin, your family. Where they go to non-Muslim countries and then such questions arrive. Those are the biggest questions and misconceptions about Islam. One of them is this, that how is it that the Quran says the witness of a woman is half the witness of a man? How is this fair? And you tell me that Islam is a religion that is meant to establish respect and equality for women? And if I don't prepare myself to have an answer, if this minbar does not prepare our community to have an answer, then this minbar has failed. And indeed, we have wasted our time. It is only when I become an ambassador of Islam through this minbar, it is only when I am convinced and I can convince others, is when we have done justice to the minbar of Rasulullah, to the minbar of the Ahlul Bayt, to the minbar of Imam al-Sadiq. And I tell you one thing, brothers. Don't look for quantity. Meaning, in the month of Ramadan, or maybe in Muharram and Safar, the 69 days of Aza, take this from me. Sometimes we have majalis overload, information overload. Some people, for example, from Houston, where I am, I'm sure it's the same here in Karachi, sometimes there are 8, 9, 10 majalis a day, from one home to another home, from one home to another home. You know, specifically there in Sugar Land where I live, there's a big community and everybody lives close by. So they make a stop here, half an hour, then they, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes drive, they go to somebody else's home, half an hour here, half an hour here, half an hour. And the end of the day, they're there 10 majalis a day. Maybe the same thing in the month of Ramadan, after iftari until sahar time, you go and you visit with people. But those same people, for example, they'll end up in some class in university, and the professor is one of those professors who just does not like Islam, does not appreciate Islam. Every single day it seems that this person comes to class to defame the religion of Islam, to put the Muslims down, to say that Islam is a religion that is, no good for our society. Those people, they cannot stand up and say, look, I can give you a reasonable, rational explanation for all of this. So what I'm trying to say is don't go for quantity. Oh, I have to go for 20 majalis. I have to go for 10 majalis. I have to go for 7 majalis a day. Look for quality. Is this my opinion? No, it's not my opinion. This is what Imam al-Sadiq did. The problem is sometimes we don't read the biography of our imams. How they planned and executed. Imam al-Sadiq did not look for quantity. He looked for quality. And why is it that he is the most powerful madhab? Though our number is small compared to others. But he was the teacher of all the other madhab. And no one can deny this. No one. Go look at the internet and Wikipedia and go look at, you know, the major sources, whether they're Shia sources, Sunni sources, non-Muslim sources. They tell you Ja'far ibn Muhammad is the teacher of all the other imams. And his students are the teachers of the other imams. Why? Because Imam al-Sadiq looked for quality. He would go and hand select the quality students. And he would spend time with them. And he would teach them. And he would leave his home and his comfort and his peace. And he would give them. Why? So they become ambassadors. This is the idea. So they become ambassadors in spreading Islam, spreading the Quran, and spreading the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. And this is exactly what happened. The madhab of Ahlul Bayt, though it is the most persecuted madhab in the course of history around the world, it thrives. It is growing. Maybe the fastest growing madhab in the world. Why? Because our a'immah depended on quality. So in the month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, we also must spend time looking for quality information. When we read the Quran, we spend time looking for quality within our day-to-day lives. This is what the madhab of Ahlul Bayt has taught us. And truly, reform and change and awakening comes through quality. Tonight, I want to talk about the second chapter. So when we begin, we start from the second chapter of the Holy Quran. A small intro before I get into my topic. The second chapter of the Holy Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Within Surah Al-Baqarah, we have the longest chapter within the Holy Quran. Longest chapter, longest ayah. Longest ayah, as I said, is ayah number 282. For those who have just joined us, we're talking about the male-female witness. We're going to use the Holy Quran to get to an answer, inshallah. Or to an awakening. And we're starting with chapter 2. The first ayah we're looking at is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 282. So that inshallah, in some of those areas, like I said, we have some answers so we can become ambassadors of Islam. We can have confidence. We can answer and engage with conviction. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in Medina. Very briefly, I'll tell you this. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in Medina. In Mecca, you find that the chapters are shorter, correct? The Meccan chapters are shorter. Medina, here's a very long chapter of the Holy Quran with many long lessons. And many people, especially youngsters, might ask, why would Allah name the longest chapter in the Holy Quran after a Baqarah, after a cow? Why not, you know, Rasulullah? Why is Nuh, for example, he has a shorter chapter. Yusuf has a shorter chapter. Muhammad has a shorter chapter. Hud and Salih, those are important people. Maryam. And then here you got a cow that has the longest chapter in the whole. How does that make sense? And I'm sure you've already read Baqarah. You've passed Baqarah. But is this not something that we have to contemplate on? We also have other chapters named after animals. Ankabut, Fil, what else? Nahl. Why is it that Allah would choose to name chapters in the Holy Quran after animals? The titles, pay attention to this, the titles of the chapters are connected with the major theme of that chapter. And that major theme within the chapter is what connects with your life forever. Surah Al-Baqarah is named after the story of a cow of Bani Israel. Not the cow. Not it. It is named after the story of, many of you have probably heard the story, of a cow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained Bani Israel to kill a cow. Why? Because there was a man, a very rich man, a very influential man, who was killed. And they wanted to know who killed him. So they went to Musa. Ya Musa, who killed this man? Allah says, Musa, don't tell them who killed the man. Tell them to engage, be proactive. How? اذبحوا بقرة. Go and kill a cow. Now, instead of going and killing a cow, they start asking. Because you know, I was just telling one of the brothers the other day. I said people, when they get introduced to charitable projects, whether they have to engage financially or with their time or with their wealth or whatever, if they want to do it, they'll do it. They won't ask a million questions. If it makes sense, if there are people involved who they trust, if it's a good cause, they will depart from their time and their wealth. It's easy. It's not very difficult. But if they don't want to do it, oh, they'll have a million questions to ask. Million questions to ask. Why? Because he doesn't want to say, I don't want to do. I don't want to give. I'm attached to this money, so he'll start asking a million questions. This is exactly what Bani Israel did. They start asking Musa, we have to kill a baqara? Yeah, you have to kill a baqara. What's the size? What's the age? Is it a milking cow? Is it a male cow? Is it a bull? Is it a female cow? And then what's the color of the cow? What color should it be, you know? At that time, there were no brands, but I'm sure, you know, if there were brands, they'll probably ask what the brand should be as well. So every time they made it more difficult, Allah also made it more difficult. Until they arrived to one single baqara in all of Bani Israel, there was only one baqara with those qualities. It was a yellow one with a special color, special age. Why? There's a backstory to that as well. There's this young man who was taking care of his father. Somebody came to purchase his cow and he went to get, you know, to sell the cow, but he found his father sleeping and he did not wake up his father. Out of respect, he lost that business transaction because he did not want to wake up his father. Allah says, I'm going to make this baqara, this cow, the most on-demand cow in all of Bani Israel. So you get 100 times more money for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raziq. We try, but Allah in the end of the day, He can bring the biggest rizq for a cow. So they slaughter the cow. And then they take some of the blood and they put it on this deceased person. He gets up and he starts talking. Mu'jiza from Allah. And he says to the story of who killed him and what happened. That's not my, you know, we're not going to get into this now. Maybe some other time. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce this within the Holy Quran? You see, in Mecca, Allah was inviting them to Islam. People come into Islam. In Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your challenge is different. In Mecca, your challenge were the mushriks, the enemies. So you united against them. You became united because you had an enemy. Today, the enemy is far away, And you are a community. Within this community, there are going to be people killing one another, defaming one another, going after one another. They're just as dangerous for the community as the mushrikeen who fought you and killed you. So Allah gives such an example. And He gives many lessons so that we perfect our lives. Amongst them, we begin with 282, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. Let us read together in our Qur'ans. Once again, I invite all of you to bring your Qur'an every day with you, inshallah, your personal Qur'an. The ayah begins with, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you believers, O you mu'mins. Some ayat, brothers and sisters, in the Holy Qur'an begin with, Ya ayyuhannas. Some ayat begin with, Ya ayyuhal insan. Some ayat, Ya bani Adam. And some ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. What's the difference? I have to think of those things. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just trying to rhyme. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is a specific advice to believers, mu'mins. Meaning, don't call yourself a mu'min just because you pray, just because you fast, just because you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Those are the qualities of a mu'min. Part of the qualities of a mu'min is this. This is why some ayat begin with, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Being part of a mu'min community is that you have to have those qualities. Every time you come across such an ayah, you know that this is what I have to do. To be a mu'min, a complete mu'min, this is part of my task. Ya ayyuhal nas, ya bani Adam, ya ayyuhal insan speaks to all people. You don't have to be Muslim, mu'min. You could be anybody, anywhere. And that ayah will attract you towards the Quran and Islam. So tonight, as you read the Quran, look for those clues. And you will find that if you take an ayah that begins with Ya ayyuhan nas or Ya bani Adam and take it to a non-Muslim, it is highly likely that they'll be affected by it. Because it has a very general message for all of humanity. Ya ayyuhan nas. One ayah that speaks to all people. Ya ayyuhan nas. Antumul fuqara ilallah. You're all faqir. Even Bill Gates is faqir. Even Elon Musk is faqir. All of you are faqir. Why? Because you all need Allah. Find one person who does not need Allah. Find one person who can delay his death by not one day, by a split second. Find one person who can choose where he dies, when he dies, and where he gets buried. Never. So Allah says, O you humanity, I created you. أنتم الفقراء. You're all faqir. Fir'aun is faqir. The richest man is faqir. The most powerful man is faqir. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. والله هو الغني. And Allah is ghani. Allah is the wealthy. Allah is the king of kings. Allah is the owner of everything. So is it meaningful for me to ask a faqir like me or to ask the ghani? I ask the ghani. If he gives him, he can give me. Why would you go and you put your dignity somewhere where the person, that person does not even know when he will die and where he will be buried and he cannot even, you know, delay his death by one split second? Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This message will resonate with all humanity. They might even tell you, I might not become Muslim, but I enjoy this lesson from Islam. And this is our fault. If not enough people have seen this from the Quran today, it's our fault. We have not taken the Quran in such a manner to them. Now you come to Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Allah says, you mu'mins are at a different standard. You represent me. You are part of the ummah of believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. In the Quran. Idha tadayantum. If you take a loan from one another, bidaynin ila ajalin musamma, faktubuh. If you were to take a loan, number one, you have to set a date. I go to a brother here, and I say, Brother Muhammad, I want $100 from you. The first thing that Allah says, if you are a mu'min, you have to tell him when you're going to give it back. There has to be a time. A month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. If you have the money prior to that, it's highly recommended you pay it back. And the person who's given the loan and he agrees that it's 6 months shouldn't go after him after 3 weeks. Ah, Baba, give me my money back. I asked you for 6 months. No, I changed my mind. Give me my money back. Doesn't work that way. Therefore, there's going to be understanding within communities. There's going to be harmony. Allah says, if that happens, faktubu, write it down. Have you noticed that lawyers in non-Muslim countries, they're very wealthy. But in Muslim countries, they have to drive a taxi on the side job. Why? Because non-Muslim countries, they know what they're doing. You go to a lawyer, write things up, there isn't going to be an issue. You don't write it up, there's going to be many issues. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches me this. He says, write it. Have a contract. Have an understanding. It's better to have a little weird or awkward, you know, moment in the beginning to save yourself a long headache. Faktubuh, write it down. Then you go a few lines down, Allah talks about witnessing. This is our topic tonight, right? The witness of a man and a witness of a woman. Allah says, and have witnesses upon a contract, upon an agreement. Why? Because when you don't have witnesses, somebody might deny this, that it happened. So you have to have witnesses. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا And seek the witness. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَاهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ Two witnesses from men. Two male witnesses. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونُ If you don't have two just male witnesses, adult witnesses. رَجُلَيْن If you don't have رَجُلَيْن, two men. فَرَجُلٌ One man. وَامْرَأَتَانِ And two women. مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ From those who you accept their witness. They're good people. They have good standing. Then Allah makes an explanation here. I want you to pay attention to it. أَنْ تَظِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا One of them may forget. One of them may change her mind, change her shahada. One of them may go astray. فَتُذَكِّرْ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى The other female will remind her friend and correct her shahada. Okay? So this is the concept of two men versus one... two women versus one man. Now, we'll come back to this ayah. The next ayah that we are looking at, as I told you in the beginning when we arrived, is Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 106, mashallah. This is what you get for coming early. 106, Surah Al-Ma'idah 106. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is one of the most spiritual, lessonful chapters in the Holy Quran, in this ayah talks about the concept of shahada and witnessing again. And let me say this, brothers and sisters. You cannot read one ayah in the Holy Quran and say this ayah talks about this specific topic. No, that's not the case. You have to look for the word witness throughout the entire Quran in order to find what the Quran says about this concept. Not from one ayah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina, huh? I'm asking you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So do you see the correlation? The first ayah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. The second ayah also says, Ya ayyuha alladhina. So when you do this, you understand that you're on the right track. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Istantiqu al-Qur'an. Ask the Qur'an, it will answer you. Look for the clues within the Qur'an, it will guide you. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, اضربوا القرآن بعضه بعضا. Take one ayah from the Quran to another ayah from the Quran. Connect them, you will have a better understanding. And this is what you're doing here tonight. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Again, when it comes to shahada. Shahada tubaynikum. The witness amongst you. إذا حضر أحدكم الموت. If somebody was on his deathbed, somebody was ill, somebody was about to die, and they're about to do their will, give their will. أحدكم حضر أحدكم الموت حين الوصية. اثنان ذوى عدل منكم. Two just witnesses shall be present amongst you. Does it here in this ayah, does it differentiate between men and women? No. In this ayah, the gender is not mentioned. We're looking for clues here. And I have to say, brothers and sisters, many of us, we read the Quran, but we don't want to follow the lead of the Quran. Many mu'mins, they're about to die. He's ill. Doctors tell him, you don't have much time left. He's not willing to write his wasiyah. I don't understand. Brothers and siblings live in harmony amongst each other when the father is alive. But after he dies, there is no harmony. Who is there to blame? The father. Why? Why didn't you write your wasiyah? Allah is telling you, you must write your wasiyah and you must bring two just witnesses. Why? Because if I am next to my father, may Allah prolong his life, and he's giving his wasiyah, and I tell my brother, for example, this is the wasiyah of my father. He says, you're the only one there? How come? So Allah says, don't do that. Don't leave any room for such things to happen after you depart. Make sure there's harmony, there's love amongst the brothers and siblings after you depart, right? So bring two just witnesses. And believe me, you, when there are two just adil witnesses, no one questions them. They say, khalas, this is it. Allah here, speaking of witnessing in the time of death and wasiyah, as you see, does not bring the issue of gender. Let's go to the next ayah. The next ayah, as I said, is where, if somebody can tell me, huh? Ahsan, Surah Al-Talaq, which ayah? Ayah number 2, mashallah. I am so proud of you folks. I am so proud of you. Chapter 65, Surah Al-Talaq, the chapter dedicated to the laws of divorce, ayah number 2. Allah talks about divorce. So the first one was business, right? Dain, taking a loan. Second is about, huh? Wasiyah, ahsant, death, and wasiyah. And third is about talaq, divorce. MashaAllah, I like this. As long as you're following, MashaAllah, you've had good iftar, inshaAllah. You're following along, we're all going to benefit, inshaAllah. So the third one is talaq. Talaq is also something very important. Something that, you know, is sensitive in communities, societies. Allah says when it comes to talaq, فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ فَارِقُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. If the divorce period is over, either keep them or depart from one another, but with respect, with honor, with ma'roof. Don't go crazy in courts and defaming each other, and, you know, don't do that. Allah's advice, again, and I get surprised. I see mu'mins not following the Quran. The Quran is our guide. Don't say, he hurt me so much, I got to destroy him. Allah says in the Quran, don't do that. Keep it civilized. Keep it respectful. You need to divorce, but civilized. Okay, this is not our message. Then says, وَأَشْهِدُوا, and bring witnesses. That is why. The madhab of Ahlul Bayt, divorce does not take place without witnesses. Why? You Shia are following bid'ah, you're this, you're that. It's in the Quran. Why? We're following the Quran. Anybody who reads the Quran sees that you cannot have a divorce without two just witnesses. And other madahib, the guy texts his wife that you are divorced. She's divorced. And other madahib, he's angry, alone, at home. He says, you're divorced. She's divorced. I read a fatwa of an alim. I'm not mocking anybody or shaming anybody. That this husband in his sleep, he talks in his sleep. And apparently he had some arguments with his wife just before he went to sleep. So in his sleep, he said, Anti Talaq. And the wife, she was awake. So in the morning, she's thinking, am I divorced? Am I still married? So she calls the sheikh, Mufti. And she says, my husband, in his sleep, he said, yeah, you're divorced. Doesn't work that way. Read the Quran. The Quran says, وَأَشْهِدُوا, and make sure there are two witnesses. ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ, they must be just. They must be known for adala. وَأَقِيمُ الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ, and if you do a witness, especially in divorce, make sure. This witness is for Allah, not because I hate my brother-in-law, I'm going to give this just witness. I hate my sister-in-law, so I'm going to do this. I hate my daughter-in-law. Because this happens, right? We're angry. Feel like, you know, she hurt my son, she hurt my nephew, she hurt my brother. So I change the shahada. Allah says, in this sensitive area, here's another tip for you. Don't be sensitive. Make sure your shahada is for Allah. It is a legitimate one. وَأَقِيمُ الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ. Here again, there is no mention of gender. So what is the ruling now? We've read the Quran, we've looked at the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama, brothers and sisters, are divided into two categories when it comes to the concept of witness. I want you to pay attention. Because we started a series of exploring Islamic law, ijtihad, based on the Holy Quran. And by the way, let me tell you this, because we're going to be discussing this in the next few nights. Some people, they hear what they like to hear. And some people don't hear what they don't like to hear. So if somebody doesn't like this topic, they're not listening right now. If somebody likes it, they're listening very carefully right now. So if the majority of people leave here and you ask them, what did Sayyid say? The ones that like it, he said, man and woman are equal in witnessing. I didn't say that. And the ones that don't like it, he was talking about this rubbish, you know, men and women are equal. I don't believe in that. I'm just opening your eyes of how to study the Quran, how to understand the Quran. But we're not giving fatwa here. At the end of the day, we're only bringing the opinions of the ulama. So today, there are two opinions amongst the ulama. And not today, you know, since the time of the occultation until today. One says, yes, according to this ayah, the witness of man and woman is 2-1. And that's how it's going to be because it's in the Quran. The second group of ulama have said the following. Listen to this. The first group, it's in the Quran, but they have an explanation, which does make sense. It's not far-fetched. They say, in the time of witness, a woman can become more emotional than a man. And this is, by the way, something to be looked into. Why? You know, in America, there is a jury system, and there are very powerful attorneys. What do those attorneys do? Those attorneys go and they maneuver on the jury. They play with their emotions. For example, they say, this person who's committed a crime, this person has 3 kids, and he's struggling, and he barely can pay rent, and if you lock him up, you're going to destroy his kids, and you're going to, you know, his kids are probably going to be worse than him, and he's going to lose his home, and he's going to lose his job. and his mother is struggling with cancer, and if he goes for 10 years, his mother is going to die before she sees him, and all those things are pretty much irrelevant, but they work on the jury, because the jury are emotional, right? They were emotional people. Women more emotional than men. So is her opinion going to be a little, did I really see this? I mean, why am I here witnessing against this guy? I feel bad. What if he regretted it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says, bring two women. So if one of them was changing her mind, the other one says, no, we got to stick to this. He did it, we saw it, we're going to stick to it. Don't become emotional. This is the explanation of the Holy Quran. So ulama, mufassireen, fuqaha, sunni and shi'a have said the same thing. That in the time of witness, two women, why? Because the Quran says one of them will correct the other one if she was about to change her mind. If she was emotionally persuaded to do otherwise. The second group now have said the following. At the time of Rasulullah, what was the role of a woman? Was she a businesswoman? Was she transactioning business? Writing contracts? No. She was barely leaving her home. So they didn't know the affairs of contract and loan and being a witness to such things. Therefore, Allah in that area, which is dealt with, you know, finances and economy and loans, says you need two woman witnesses. But when it comes to issues where women and men are equal, for example, somebody's dying and you're there, you don't need two women. Allah hasn't mentioned it. Somebody's getting a divorce and you're there. Therefore, Allah has not mentioned the 2-to-1 ratio. Therefore, two opinions. In issues of finances, 2-to-1, or this was an advice given at the time, but not a hukm. An advice given at the time, not hukm. The reason why I spoke about what I spoke about yesterday, that the mawdu' circumstance changes the hukm, right or wrong? How many of you remember that? The circumstance, if it changes the hukm. That time you had women who were uneducated. You had women who didn't know any better. You had women who did not leave their home. You had women who did not know how a contract worked. But today you have women who become generals, army generals, prime ministers, parliament members, members of the Congress, very wealthy individuals. The mawdu', according to those ulama, don't say Jawad Qazwini said this, I'm just bringing you an opinion, opening your eyes. According to those ulama, the mawdu' has now changed. We've seen women now, they're smarter than men. They're leading, they're CEOs, leading big companies, they know. So now the mawdu' has changed, the hukum will also change. And also, to back this up, you have a 3-to-1 ayah ratio. One ayah says 2, and the rest do not say 2. This is the opinion when it comes to 2 female, 1 male witnessing. Let us take a moment to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dua. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow with this series. And I beg of you to please, number one, be on time, because you saw today, inshallah, it's all connected. You don't want to, you know, miss part of it. And also bring your Quran, right? I said I don't want to repeat myself. I apologize. But if you don't have a personal Quran, choose a personal Quran. Make it your best friend. Bring it with you. We are the guests of the Quran in this month. Inshallah, this becomes a habit that if you are present in the majalis of the month of Ramadan, you automatically take the Quran with you. Just like in Muharram, you automatically wear your black shirt. Nobody needs to remind you. This is the month of the Quran. Let us go to Dua Jawshan, the beautiful Dua of the month of Ramadan. Last night we read 19. Today we read verse 20 of Dua Jawshan Al-Kabir. Ya Farij Al-Hem. Those who have stress, those who have anxiety, those who have fear, those who have a million things in their mind. They have hem. Who can take away their hem and ghem and stress and anxiety. Who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else. And we all know that. Ya farij al-ham. Ya kashif al-gham. You're the one that can turn anxiety and stress into happiness. Not just remove it, you turn it into happiness and joy. Ya ghafir al-dhanb. Who can forgive sin besides Allah? Allah is the one that forgives sins. He conceals the sins. He erases the sins. Ya qabil at-tawb. Who can accept our repentance besides Allah? In Islam, we don't go to the priest. We go straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one that, inna Allah yaqbal, Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful ayah. Inna Allah yaqbalu tawbata an ibadihi. Allah in the Quran says, I receive your application of repentance, not the malaika, not I receive it. Allahu Akbar. If you are a person of tawbah, you deal directly with me, not with anybody else. How beautiful is that? How kind is that? How merciful is that? Ya qabil at-tawb, ya khaliq al-khalq. Who created besides Allah? Allah is the creator and everything else is the created. Ya khaliq al-khalq, ya sadiq al-wa'd. You're the one that does not give empty promises. Your promises are real. Your promises are legitimate. Your promises will take place. Your promises are not lies. Who else can claim this? That if I make a promise 100%, you might not even live that long. You might not be healthy and wealthy and capable. But Allah, when He makes a promise, we know His promise is real. Ya sadiq al-wa'd, ya mufi al-ahd. And if you give, you don't give with condition. You give. You give with generosity. You don't give partially, you give. Ya sadiq al-wa'd, ya mufi al-ahd, ya alim al-sir. In secret, no one knows me besides Allah. Ya faliq al-hab. He is the one that turns the plant, the seed into a tree. Ya faliq al-hab. Ya raziq al-anam. Everything that needs rizq, from plant to trees to animals, to humans, the rizq is in the hands of the one and only. Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Look at this dua. We're in this month, this beautiful month of Ramadan. We're so lucky and blessed to be in the house of Allah. We're so lucky and blessed to be spending time with the book of Allah. And we're so lucky and blessed to end tonight's session with a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, sisters, be thankful to Allah for this ni'mah. This is a ni'mah bestowed upon you. Allah wants to forgive you and Allah wants to answer your dua. That is why you're here. So thank Him for this. And don't take this for granted. All of us together, let us recite this chapter, verse number 20 of dua, Jawshan al-Kabir. يا فارج الهم يا كاشف الغم يا غافر الذنب يا قابل التوب يا خالق الخلق يا صادق الوعد يا موفي العهد يا عالم السر يا فالق الحب يا رازق الأنام سبحانك يا الغاوث الغاوث Raise your hands to Allah. Raise your hands to Allah two more times with the loudest of your voices. Men, women, elderly, children. The hadith says Allah looks at the intention of the crowd. This is the hadith. And if there are 40 mu'mins with pure intentions that say, Ya Allah, accept our dua. We are muftar. We have no one besides you. We only come to you. We beg to you. Then Allah says, give the hajat of all of them. This is why we're here. This is why we congregate together. So two more times. Do you know the words? Al-Ghawth, Al-Ghawth. Ya Allah, I am drowning. I need you. سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغوث الغوث سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم 10 times all of us together يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم اللهم بحق محمد وعلي وفاطمة والحسن والحسين وبحق التسعة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين وبحق القرآن المجيد اللهم أدخل على أهل القبور السرور اللهم شافي وعافي كل مريض اللهم رد كل غريب اللهم اكسو كل عريان اللهم أشبع كل جائع اللهم سد فقرنا بغناك غير سوء حالنا بحسن حالك اللهم اقض عنا الدين وأجرنا من الفقر إنك على كل شيء قدير And as a gift to the soul of all our marhumin, especially our beloved brother who was with us last year and is not with us this year, Brother Imran Giwala, and also some of the sisters who have asked for special du'as. There is a sister that's going undergoing a surgery in Houston, all those suffering from cancer, those who are in need of our dua, we recite Surah Al-Mubarakah Al-Fatiha Ma'as-Salawat. Amen.